Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for the gathering of the saints this morning, God. We thank you that we can come together in the name of Jesus Christ, together as children of you, God. As the family of God, we can come together and we can love you with our heart, mind, soul, and strength, with our voices, with everything that is within us. God, we can love one another because you created us to do that, to love one another and to be loved by one another. God, we thank you that your ways are perfect. And your leadership, God, is perfect. We thank you that this is your church. We thank you that your plans for us are good, to give us a hope and a future. And God, I thank you for the message that you've given us for this morning. For the vision, God, that you've given us this morning that we're going to talk about. God, I ask that our hearts would be open, our minds would be open. And God, in the end, that we would get your heart. And that we would be your people and you are God. And that you would take us to that place that you have designed us to go as the church, as the family. So God, have your way with us this morning and may your word be powerful and effective and not return void. But just, grab hold of us really hard in an awesome way. In Jesus' name. Amen. It says in Genesis 2:18, it is not good for man to be alone. It's not good for man to be alone. It's not good for us to be alone. We were made for community with others, for relationship with God and with other people. We were made to be in a family. We're made to do life together. God Himself, the Trinity, the Godhead, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, He Himself represents to us this truth and displays His heart of community and of family. Look at Jesus. We don't see a man doing life alone when he walked on this earth, do we? He didn't do ministry alone. He didn't do life alone. Rather, we see the Son of God doing life in community and inviting others to join him. As he walked around, he said, "Hey, come follow me. Come be part of what's going on in my life. Come on and do life with me. Let's see what God's going to do. When we do this together, we're going to see awesome things. Come, follow me." You know, Jesus, you think about it, did he really need other people to do the ministry that he did on this earth? Did he? I guess he thought he did. And it was his heart to do life with others. As a man walking on this earth. When Jesus ascended to be at the right hand of his Father, he didn't leave behind a bunch of individuals doing life alone, trying to figure out the Christian life one by one. No, he left behind the church, the growing family of God. And Jesus desires that everyone would be in this family. He wants everyone to be in the family of God. It says in 1 Timothy chapter 2 that God desires that everyone would be saved. We're going to talk about it this morning, about how when people responded to Jesus and they were saved, they actually became part of the family of God. So it's God's heart and it's Jesus' desire for everyone to know Him and be part of the family of God. Not just a decision. That's something very important I think we've gotten off track of in the church a little bit. We go out, we want decisions for Jesus. And God's saying, I want people in my family. I want my family to grow. A decision may be the first itty-bitty step we take, but that decision for Jesus is also a decision to be in the family of God. So God's heart is that everyone would come and be part of His family. In Acts 2, we read about Pentecost, which is one of my favorite scenes of all redemptive history. When they're waiting for the Holy Spirit to come, He comes like rushing wind and sits on them as tongues of fire. And the church comes alive. The church is launched out of the upper room on the day of Pentecost. And they come out of the upper room filled with the heart of God, filled with the Holy Spirit, God Himself. And they go out and they be the church. And they talk about Jesus. And they operate in signs and wonders. And it says on that day of Pentecost that 3,000 people were added to their number. Cheon, which we know Deborah knows quite well. I think you're cousins, aren't you? In his book, Spirit-Filled Evangelism, or Spirit-Led Evangelism, he has this to say regarding what happened as 3,000 people were added to their number. He said that added to their number means added to the local church. This is one point about which I'm particularly passionate, Chase says. I have seen many people come to Christ only to fall away because they were never incorporated into a church body and the essential support, fellowship, and growth that it provides. My thinking has grown dramatically, he continues. Today, when I invite people to surrender to the Lord in a public meeting, I emphasize commitment to a local church, even over the importance of baptism, prayer, or reading the Bible. I have discovered that if a person gets involved in a good church, that person will receive water baptism and be discipled in reading the Bible and praying. While some may disagree, in my more than 30 years of ministry and church planting, I have found it to be true. 3,000 people were added to the family of God on that day of Pentecost. Let me talk to you a little bit about some things God's been doing in my heart and in my life as it relates to the family of God growing. Last time that we went to Africa with our group here from Evident Life Church, we had the privilege and the blessing of ministering in three different villages and doing five nights of crusades. One of the nights got rained out, so we only got to do five nights. But in those three little villages on the eastern side, the Volta region of Ghana, Africa, five nights of crusades, we saw 244 people come to Christ. Out of the darkness, literally, because it was at night, and we brought generators in and had lights and all that going, and loud music and praising God, came out of the darkness of the night, but also out of the darkness of animism, idol worship, and they came to Christ. And when they came to Christ, all the church members were excited. And they gathered around the people who had just come up and had been ministered to by God and declared that Jesus was now their Lord. He is the one that they're going to chase after now and going to believe in and go to when they're desperate. Not to idols. Not to the juju priests. 244 people and the church came around them. It was awesome. I mean, there they are with little pieces of paper and stuff, getting their names if they didn't know them, making sure they knew where they lived. Why? Because they were going to invite them into the family. One of the village of Sesiame, they had a newer church, 35 people in the church. In that village, two nights of crusades, we saw 80 people come to Christ. 80 people were added to their number, to the family of God in the village of Sesiame, those two nights. So I come back from that trip, and I'm sitting in the prayer room. We arrived on Wednesday, early afternoon, and we had our Wednesday night prayer meeting, and I'm like, I'm going to lead it. if I can go all the way to Africa and do all that, I can come back and I can lead the prayer meeting on Wednesday night. And so I came in there exhausted, but just filled with what God was doing and just had this stirring up in my spirit. And I'm sitting in the prayer room and I just found myself crying out to God, saying, God, I want our 244 here at Evident Life Church. I want our 244 here. I want to see 244 more added to our family, added to our numbers. And so that was kind of my heart's prayer that night. And the Lord blessed me that night as I was had my eyes closed and I was seeking Him and praying. I had this picture come in my mind of this room filled with people all the way to the back with their hands raised, praising God, lifting up praises to the Lord. He said, there they are. And so from that moment on, I've been praying, God, okay, You gave me the picture, but I want to start seeing them. I want to start seeing them come into this place, being part of our family. So I was praying that for approximately almost a year. At the beginning of this year, the Lord released a prayer into my life that I felt like I was supposed to begin to even more specifically pray over this church. And that is, I felt the Lord saying, pray for a doubling. Ask for a doubling in your church family. And so I began in January, more specifically even, praying for a doubling to happen. Feeling a release from the Lord, even a calling from God to start praying that prayer for this family. As I was praying that, you know, that was at the beginning of the year. Seen a little bit happen this year. Have a few of you who have come and been added to our family even this year. We've lost a few family members who've gone back, and some in New York and other places. They've moved out of town. New Mexico and New York, and what about all these new places? Everybody going to these new places. How about New Gilbert? New Arizona. So I've been praying that prayer for a doubling since the beginning of the year, since the beginning of January. And 2.5 weeks ago, the Lord finally answered my prayer. Not with a doubling in the numbers of people in the room the next weekend. But He gave me basically this word that I want to share with all of us this morning. He showed me how this is going to happen. And I believe how it's going to happen very rapidly. I believe how we're going to even see a doubling in the size of our church family by the end of this year. If you know me, it's not going to be programs and fancy lights and all of this kind of whiz-bang stuff. It's not going to be some master promotion plan where we're going to hire a marketing company and we're going to go canvas the whole East Valley and have the slickest little flyers and things that we put on people's cars or on their front doors. That's just... I did that back in my business days. That's just not where my heart is on this and not where I believe God's heart. But God has a message for us. And the message is, it's time to grow. And it is time to double. It's time to intentionally invite others into our church family. It's time to purposefully grow the church. Now, by God's grace, this church has grown. I remember the days. It was the Valientes, the Browns, the Joneses, and Christina Grihari. Back in the very beginning days in our living room. And now I look around this room and I see all you beautiful people who've been added to the number and are part of the family that are making up the Evident Life Church family. And I say, praise God, He is doing a great thing. He is adding to our numbers, to the church, to the family of God. But He wants more. He wants more. So why is it time to grow? After all, numbers aren't important. Well, yes and no. If we want numbers just because we want to say we have numbers, just because we want to say we have this successful church that's growing in numbers, and so that we can have more tithes and offerings coming in, so that we can do cooler stuff and have more programs, yeah, then it doesn't matter. That's not the right motivation. But if we want to see the family of God grow because we know numbers represent people, Numbers represent people that God loves, people that Jesus spilled His blood for. Then we begin to get God's perspective and we get the right understanding and the right heart for why God is calling us to grow. At Evident Life, we don't want to grow for growth's sake. In fact, I got to tell you what, it would be a lot easier just to stay the size we are right now. Because again, we got a great group of people here. Wonderful people who love God and love one another. More people can often mean more problems, more work, more things to handle, more care that's needed. Yeah, that's right. But we want to grow the family of God because God wants to grow His family. I mean, Jesus didn't say, it's too hard. It's going to cost me too much. It's going to be too difficult. How about I just take a beating instead of actually have to die and go to the cross? And would a beating just save, a quarter of the people? No, He went all the way. Because God loves us. And we are all special to Him. And He wants everyone in His family. So we want the family of God to grow because Jesus must receive the reward of His suffering. We want the family of God to grow because we've received the spirit of adoption from the heart of our Heavenly Father. The spirit of adoption. Turn with me to Romans 8, 15 and 16. I want you to check this out. Do you know that each one of us who are in the family of God are in the family of God because we've been adopted into the family of God? Romans 8, 15 and 16. For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the spirit of sonship. And by Him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. We've been adopted, made sons and daughters into the family of God. We've been adopted into the family of God. We've been redeemed, and we're experiencing many of the benefits of this adoption because we're enjoying the active fellowship of the saints right here at Evident Life Church. But there are others on the outside, all alone. Still lonely. Trying to do life alone, outside of the family. Orphans. Some of them are spiritual orphans. They know Jesus, but they're not in the family. Others are completely lost. You know, in Psalm 68:6, it says that God sets the lonely in families. Isn't He good? Just like He did you and me. God sets the lonely in families. He doesn't set the lonely and the lost in social clubs. He doesn't set the lonely and the lost in pews just to show up at a gathering. But He puts the lonely and sets them in families. There are many Christians who are lonely. There are many Christians who are not in a church family, not plugged in. They're not doing life with other Christians in a church way where they're gathering and they're worshiping together, they're praying together, they're studying together, they're growing together, they're encouraging one another, they're breaking bread together. They're caring for one another. Well, they may know some other Christians that they hang out with every once in a while, go to dinner with here or there. But I'm talking about the family of God, family life. I'm not talking about friend life. I'm talking about family life. There are a lot of lonely people. And this is not God's plan for their lives. It's just not. He created all of us to be united in the body of Christ. To be in the family of God. Those who are outside who are lonely, they need us. They need us. They need you, Kevin. They need you, Jim. Vi, they need you. Peggy, they need you. They need us. They need people who will be there for them, fight for them, encourage them, speak truth into their lives. They need us, and we need them. We need them in our family. We're incomplete without them. We're missing our brothers and sisters that we're supposed to be doing life with. In addition to that, people who know Christ but are outside the family right now, there are also countless numbers of people, even here in the East Valley, who are not in God's family because they do not know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. God wants them in His family. He wants us to seek them out. He wants us to tell them about His Son, Jesus. He wants us to show them love. And He wants us to invite them in to our family. Even if they may be a little rough around the edges. Even if they don't have it all together, like I'm sure, well, I know we don't all have it together, but you hear what I'm saying? They need to be invited into the family. They need to know Jesus, and they need to know us. So we need God's heart. We need to understand the spirit of adoption. It needs to be really deep in us. We've got to really get that spirit of adoption that God has and has had for us. We need to get that for others. And when we get that, we're going to seek and save the lost. Jesus says in Luke 19:10, the Son of Man came to seek out the lost. To seek that which is lost. That's why He came to this earth. To bring the lost and the lonely into the family of God. And we're called to be like Him. Right? We're Christians, little Christs. We're called to follow in His footsteps. What would Jesus do? Well, He'd go seek and save the lost. What would Jesus do? He'd look for that lonely person. Love on them. Invite them to do life with Him. Be part of His family. What would Jesus do? He would put His own plans aside in order to include others in His life. Even though it's harder, we have families here who keep adopting kids. And the world looks at that and goes, what are they crazy? It's just more work. It's harder. Yeah, it's harder. But it's God's heart to bring the lonely, the lost into family. It's God's heart to love people even when it's hard. Jesus didn't live a cushy life. He didn't even have a place to lay His head. He was abused, beaten, hung on a cross, killed. It was hard to go after the lost and the lonely. But Jesus did it. And we're the church. We're the family of God. We're the followers of Christ. And that's our call. That's our role. Too often, I believe, as Christians, we think that when life is easy and comfortable and everything's planned and we got all the I's dotted and the T's crossed and everything looks like it's orderly, that we're in God's will. I want to challenge you with that thinking a little bit. If you followed and walked with Jesus Christ when He walked on this earth, or if you walked around with Paul or Peter when they were ministering on this earth, you would have felt nervous almost every single day. You would have felt like, oh my, what's going to happen today? How are we going to get out of this one? Is God really going to show up? You want me to go where? And tell who about Jesus? Really? The goal of the Christian life isn't comfort and ease and order. We are called to be the family of God, and we are called to follow in the footsteps of Jesus and seek and save the lost. Obviously, they're saved through Jesus Christ. They're saved because of the victory of Christ on the cross. We got to go out and seek them out and save them and bring them into the family of God. Seeking out the lost, the hurting, the lonely, those not connected in the body of Christ. Adopting others into the church family. We've got to be intentional about this. This is the point. We all know this, right? We all know that we're supposed to share the gospel. We all know that we're supposed to love other people. We get that. But I believe what God is saying to us as a church family today is, now let's be intentional about it. Let's really do it. Let's not just talk about it, but let's really be the church. You know, you look at that word, seek, to seek something out. How many of you have lost your cell phone or some car keys? Do you just sit around and go, oh, someday my car keys will show up. Until then, I'll just hang out at home. Most people, their cell phone, if you lose that, it's like, oh my goodness. I mean, you're telling the whole family, look here, look there. You're turning everything over. You're going to find that phone. You're going to find those keys. You're going to seek them out. And you're going to get them as fast as you can. Jesus said he came to seek and save that which was lost. We need to be intentional. We need to have that kind of intentionality about going after and finding the lost and lonely. It should be something that we're asking God for every day. Oh, God, show me who's lost and who's lonely around me. Let me know if there's somebody that I'm doing life with right now who's outside the family of God, that I may seek them out, that I may love on them, that I may tell them about you, and that I can get them into our family. Because the people I do life with are awesome. The people I do life with are the people that person needs to do life with. People that will build them up, fight for them, not against them. Show them Jesus. Just in the past 2.5 weeks, when this just like hit me, like God just dropped it on me. Oh God, I want to see our church family double in size. Two and a half weeks ago, have this heart and be intentional about it. Do it. And so it hit me, and I started going, okay, God, show me. Show me the lost and the lonely. 3 people already that I've had an opportunity to seek out intentionally, contact, go talk with, share with, love on, inviting them into our church family. I don't see any of them here yet this morning. But these are people who are lonely. Some of them are Christians. One of them is a whole family, Christian family. They're not in the family of God here or anywhere else. They're not plugged in. They need to be plugged in. If they stay on their own too long, it's not healthy. It's not safe. Others are completely lost, going through very dark times in their lives. It's consumed one of my weeks over the past 2 weeks. One of the people that I've gone after, yeah, it's been a lot of work. And it's taken time and resources from me. But I am thrilled and I am excited because I'm already seeing change. I'm already seeing light start to come into this life that has experienced so much darkness and so much hurt. And I know that I am probably the only person in this person's life who is speaking truth and the love of God into their lives and over their lives. And that's what they need. They need to experience the love of God. When we're intentional and we say yes to God in this, He'll give us eyes to see the lost, the hurting, and the lonely. And it'll be pretty exciting. So yes, we're called to individually share the gospel with others, but the lost and the lonely, for them to fully experience what God has for them, they need to experience the family of God. Do you understand that? Now, there's some that really promote, hey, just go out there and invite people to church. Bring them in here. Let the pastor close the deal. Let them come up, say the prayer, and we got them. Another decision for the Lord. Okay, that doesn't feel quite right. Then we have the other camp that says, hey, it's all on you. You, the individual Christian, you need to go out and evangelize to that person. You need to have the answers for them. Trust God for the answers, of course. You need to have the answers for them. Then you need to follow up with all their discipleship and so on and so forth as you're bringing them into the family of God. I say, okay, that can work. And so can the other one. But I tell you what, there's a lot more success when we go and invite somebody into the family of God and let the whole family of God minister to that person. Love on that person. Disciple that person. Pray for that person. You see the difference? They need to be in the family. You guys have heard the saying that it takes a village to raise a child. And there's been a little pushback on that because one of the people who said that several years ago maybe had some other intentions, the village being the government, takes the government to raise a child. But that statement, it takes a village to raise a child, there is truth in that. That's why the village must be the family of God. There are too many people right now that are being raised, whether they're a child or whether they're an adult, being raised in the village of this world. And all they're getting out of that is hurt and pain, destruction, disappointment. They're not getting what they need because they're allowing themselves and finding themselves being raised in the wrong village. The village of this world, not the village of God. Being raised in a different family, if you can even call that a family. A very dysfunctional family, maybe you could call it that. Here's the deal. In the family of God, people are going to experience encouragement and love. In the family of God, people receive spiritual care and discipleship. They have others to fight for them. They find purpose. They're ministered to by spirit-filled brothers and sisters who love God and therefore they love them. Who minister to them and love on them without ulterior motives, but just because of the love of God that's in them. And get this picture. This goes back to talking about the whole body of Christ, why it's important for the body of Christ to come together. Because when there are people missing, you're missing an arm, a leg, an eye, an ear, or something. And it's hard to do life. It's hard to make it across the finish line when you don't have a leg. It's hard to know where you're going when your eyes don't show up and they're not there. But when the whole body is there, how much more effective? So think about bringing somebody into the family of God where there's all of these wonderful people with these spiritual giftings. The gift of encouragement. Oh, the gift of healing as we've seen people being healed. Prophecy, being able to speak encouragement into their lives. The gift of hospitality, which I love that one, by the way. All of these wonderful gifts in the body of Christ. And when somebody comes into the family of God like that, they get to experience all of that. It's not on one person's shoulders. And God never intended it to be that way. That's why He created the church, the body of Christ, the family of God. There's completeness that is found inside the family. I mean, just compare the lives of an orphan, somebody who grows up as an orphan. Versus somebody who grows up in a loving family, complete loving family. It's different. It's hard for orphans to grow up. It's a hard, hard life. That's why God has called us to go out and help the orphans and the widows. Not just to go out and give them some water and say, oh, I'm so sorry, I'll pray for you, and then walk back away and then come back a little while later and go, oh, still love you and praying for you and walk away. No, we're called to love the orphans and bring them into the family. Because it's hard to grow up without a family. And God doesn't want people growing up, children or adults, growing up and doing life alone as orphans. So I say, let the adoption begin. What do you say? Let the adoption begin. Do you know someone who's lost or who is lonely? I imagine every one of us does. Someone lost and lonely. Do you know anyone who's not connected into the family of God? Not connected in a local church congregation? Do you know somebody in that situation right now? They're, quote unquote, maybe between churches or are just kind of, maybe they've been burned. I mean, that's happened. Let's face it, unfortunately. If you know lost and the lonely, people not connected in the family of God, seek them out. Love on them and invite them into our church family. Do you realize if everyone here at Evident Life Church adopted one person into the family, obviously we would double. I'm not a math major, but I got that one. If we all brought one person, adopted one person into our family, we would double. That's not very hard. And I'm not talking about you've got to go out and have all the answers for them to be able to say yes to God and fully disciple them and get them filled with the Holy Spirit all on your own. I'm talking about just bringing them into our family to experience love. And all of that other stuff is going to work out. It will happen within the family. I'm not talking about the pressure of salvations on your shoulder. But I will tell you this. As you invite the lost and the lonely into the family of God, you're going to hear that song. I don't know who sings it, but that, "Thank you for giving to the Lord. I am a life that was changed or saved," or something like that. Really good. Anyway, I love that song. Almost every time I hear it, I cry. I will tell you why. Because what we do now matters. And if we love on people, and if we're really the church, if we're really the family of God to others, and we don't say, "Hey, we've got a big enough family, really don't want to handle anymore," but if we have the attitude of bringing them in and continuing to pursue them, seek them out and pursue them and bring them into our family, we're going to hear that song. A lot of people are going to be singing that song to you. Because you were the one who brought them in to your family. So we got to be ready. You know that when a family adopts a child into their house, into their family, they prepare. I think of the Browns who just adopted Josiah into their family. It was not one of those things where they sat around and they said, "Well, you know, if a kid just kind of shows up on our front door, yeah, we'll bring him in and kind of see what happens." That wasn't what happened at all. They decided, "We want to adopt. We want to bring somebody else into our family. We want to love on somebody else." And they planned. They looked. They sought out. They had so many people looking for Josiah. So many agencies looking for that boy, their son, so they could bring him in his family. They put resources forward. They spent money. I think of the Valientes who flew to Ethiopia for their two children that they adopted into their family. Time, resources, energy. And you imagine what happens. They're excited. They're getting the room ready, the crib ready, the room painted. They're planning everything. They're all the kids and everyone in the family's like, "Yeah, we can't wait. It's going to happen soon." Everyone's on the same page. "Oh, when that baby comes in our family, we're going to love on them." When you adopt a child in, you don't bring them in and put them in their bassinet over in that corner room and then walk away and say, "Well, I guess they're going to grow up and everything's going to be all right. Let's get on with life." No, you plan, you resource, you're purposeful. Because of love, you do all of this. This church family right here is a church family that loves one another, that serves one another, that cares for one another. I continue to be blown away by what I see happen here. The love, the service to one another, the prayers that are going up for one another. It's beautiful. We have the heart here. It's already in us. God's heart for others is already in us. It's now just about releasing it a little more. Inviting others in. Being intentional about inviting others in. We've already got what it takes. It's already part of our DNA. The spirit of adoption, I know, is already in each one of us. It's in this church family. I've seen it happen. And I'm not talking simply about adopting children into our nuclear families. I'm talking about that spirit of adoption to want to bring people into our church family to do life with, to love on that way. It's already in us. It's part of our DNA. We just need this vision and this encouragement now to go live it out, even a little more intentionally, a little more aggressively, to seek out the lost and the lonely and to bring them in. We have to strategically build on what God's already doing here at Evident Life Church so that nobody falls through the cracks when we bring them in also. It's got to be that important that we're intentional about it. Do you see the difference? Yeah, we would love for it to happen, or yeah, we're going to go be the church and we're going to go seek people out and we're going to bring them in. And when they come in, if they're lonely, they're not going to be lonely when they come in here. If they're lost, they're not going to feel lost when they're in our church family. Because we care for them. You know, one of the critical components of having a place where people feel loved and they feel invited is a good welcoming environment. If you go over to somebody's house and they just kind of open the door and come on in, you've never really been there before, and you're kind of walking through the house. You don't know what to do. What do? Can I sit on this chair? Am I allowed to be over here? What's really going on? It feels kind of uncomfortable, doesn't it? I don't know if you guys have experienced that recently. Praise God, I haven't. But it's an uncomfortable thing. I have experienced that. We need to have a welcoming environment when people come into our family, when they come into our house here. So we're going to create a welcome team. We're going to be intentional about this. Not just as a program, but coming out of our heart for others. We're going to have a welcome team. In fact, Peggy and Sean Donaldson have stepped up, and they're going to lead that. And I'm sure they're going to be talking to some of you about joining that team and being part of that group of people who does that initial welcome. But I've got to tell you this, that every single person in this family is part of the welcome team. Everyone in the family here at Evident Life Church is part of the welcome team. Do you see somebody new? Then introduce yourself. Get to know them. Again, don't let the lonely feel alone. Don't let the lost feel lost when they're here. I want to conclude. I'll invite the band to come up. I want us to check out how the early church lived this out. We're going to go to Acts 2, 42 through 47. I want us to look at how did the early church live this family life? How did they express this whole spirit of adoption and loving one another and making people feel welcome and being a family rather than just a bunch of people who gather together every once in a while, sing some songs, hear a teaching, and then go back to their lives like it's different. How did the early church live out this whole precept? Acts 2, 42 through 47. Here's what they did. First thing is they did this. They devoted themselves to some things. In other words, they were intentional about some really important things. The first thing is that they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the Word of God, to study, to discipleship, to growing in the truth of God. But they also devoted themselves to fellowship. Isn't that interesting? They were intentional and devoted to fellowshipping with one another, to doing life with one another. They also devoted themselves to breaking bread together, to eating together. I like that part too. We're going to do that today in our potluck, right? That was important to them. They made a point of having people over to their homes, having meals together, celebrating communion together. They also devoted themselves to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe. And many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers, not just part of the family, but the whole family were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as he had need. They took care of one another. They helped each other out. I see that happening in this church family on a regular basis. Caring for one another in real ways. It's beautiful. Every day, they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. See what that looks like? We have a lot of that going on here at Evident Life Church, and it's beautiful. Let's have more of it. Even throughout the week, have people over to your home. Connect with one another. Get to know each other more. Love on one another. Care for one another. Go out then and find the lonely and the lost and do the same with them. And bring them into the family of God that way. Having somebody over for dinner at your house, maybe who's lonely, not connected in the body of Christ, could be just the perfect way, the perfect entrance, first step into getting them into the church to experience the beauty of God's family doing life together. When we live out our Christian life in this manner that God shows us in His Word, when we live it out together, when we fully embrace God's heart for others, when we intentionally embrace the spirit of adoption, then we will see the Lord adding to our number daily. We will. We will double. It will happen. People are longing for this. They're longing for what you have right now. They're longing for a community of people that they can do life with, that really care for them, that don't have ulterior motives, that aren't looking on how they can use them. They're longing for somebody that really cares for them and loves them. It's the longing of the human heart. It's put in us by the Lord. So let's intentionally, let's sacrificially seek out the lonely and the lost. You all ready to do it?
Amen.
This is what I'd like to do. You can remain seated. The worship team is going to play a song. And while they're singing, you don't need to sing along. I want to encourage you to just think on what we've just been talking about this morning. I want you to allow the Lord to really get that spirit of adoption deep into your heart and minister to that back to you. I want you to also allow the Holy Spirit to put on your heart and on your mind those that you may know right now here in the East Valley that are lost or lonely. So just spend some time right now with the Lord. Just process what He's been sharing with us right now and let Him put on your heart those people that He loves and He wants us to be able to love too.